It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuaid, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
At the Indians flexing some muscle on home runs, got back in it. There's another deep drive right field. Betts back on the track, turning around, and that's gone. That's a two-run homer by Greg Allen. And the Indians now have the lead 5-3 here in the seventh inning.
Ah, that is a shame. It really is. Changeup, burn him. Burn him on a changeup.
So that was a pivotal moment at Fenway Park last night. Red Sox had built a 3-0 lead. It slowly evaporated. Rick Porcello gave up two home runs, 3-3 game. Then they get to the seventh man on, one out. Porcello gives up another home run. There you go. The Red Sox lose 5-4 to the Cleveland Indians. In a game, really, that was a little bit of a role reversal for the Red Sox, if you think about it. That kind of loss, that's exactly the kind of one the Red Sox have been pinning on other teams this year. They get behind 3-0. They hang in there, they rally, they come back and win. Okay? Nonetheless, last night they lost. They have now lost two in a row, by the way, for the first time in 2 months. 2 months. They've only lost three in a row once all year, which is really extraordinary. And I was looking this up a second ago. Do you know what the Red Sox record is, Jim Murray, in series? In other words, you know, play a series, you can win it, you can lose it, you can tie it, right? It's one of those things. Mm-hmm. So let me just give you the overall numbers. The Red Sox have played 40 series to this point. 40. Okay? What do you think their record is?
That's going to be something ridiculous, like 32-8.
28-7-5. 28-7-5. So they've had two-gamers with the Phillies that they split. Right? So two-gamers almost don't even count. So if you take the two-gamers out, 28-7-3. Right? 28-7-3. They just don't lose series. They don't. They haven't lost them all year long. They haven't lost. They've lost three in a row once all year long. They've not lost four in a row. So now Cleveland's in town. Nate Eovaldi's on the mound tonight against a guy with the Indians I've never even heard of. We'll get to him a little bit later on. It's Shane Bieber. Yeah, Shane Bieber is pitching for the Indians. The Red Sox have no matchup history with him. But in any case, I'd want to get that part out of the way. Here's my question tonight. 617-779-0985. Pivotal moment in that game came in the seventh inning. Alex Cora had Matt Barnes ready in the bullpen to bring into that game. He later got Tyler Thornburg up in that game. Rick Porcello was on the mound, so he had plenty of options there. And my personal opinion, my two cents, is that this is now the part of the team. This is the dilemma that the Red Sox have, that Cora has, and that you have as a fan. There is no clear answer there when you get into a pivotal spot in the seventh or the eighth. Rick Porcello was right around 100 pitches. You had Matt Barnes up and ready to go. Thornburg also started warming there later. So it's a little too early to go to Kimbrel, but you don't have a clear bridge to. And so who gets the ball? And last night, Alex Cora chose Rick Porcello. He chose Porcello. And it blew up in his face. He gave up a two-run homer. The Red Sox lose the game 5-4. Now, Murray, if you wanted to say Cora made the wrong decision, certainly second guess it? Absolutely, you could say that, because Porcello gave up a two-run homer. If you say Cora made the right decision, you could make that argument, because how the hell can you trust anybody in that bullpen? The bottom line for me is this. The Red Sox don't have a clear answer. There isn't a clear answer there. So I would ask you as a fan, who do you blame for that? Do you blame Cora for the fact that he hasn't settled on a guy yet? Do you blame the relievers because nobody has come out and won the job? Or do you blame Dave Dombrowski because he hasn't gotten the horses to do it?
Oh, it's absolutely Dombrowski. Cora's just playing the hand that he's dealt. Those pitchers are who they are, and they're not going to change. It felt like maybe things kind of got a little bit more settled after the weekend series with Tampa, but then again, it was Tampa. I just thought that that decision last night not to take out Rick Porcello after he took a line drive to the gut where he could have really hurt himself or broke a rib or something like that, that was very telling. And what that was telling is that Cora still doesn't trust anybody to bridge to Craig Kimbrel.
Do you hold anyone out? Do you give anyone else any percentage of the blame or share of the blame, Murray?
No, it's 100% on Dave Dombrowski.
Okay, so I don't put it 100% on Dombrowski. I would say most of it's on Dombrowski.
All right, fine, 95.5. Okay. 5% for Cora that he can't really figure it out.
And the only reason I say that is because we're getting closer to the end of the year. Cora's got to start making some decisions and making some choices. And I don't think this part of the discussion is wrong to bring up. It is what it is. The Red Sox have 10 days to go here until August 31st. So if they're going to make a deal for a setup man, they have to do it in the next 10 days. Otherwise, that guy's not eligible for the postseason. Okay, so if you're going to make a deal for a reliever, it has to happen in the next week and a half. And I'm not holding my breath. I think the chances of the Red Sox being able to execute that kind of deal are slim. And in all likelihood, one of the starters is going to end up in the bullpen. But somewhere here in the next 2 to 3 weeks, Alex Cora is really going to settle on that. And if it is a starter, and it's a guy you're going to bring in there in a big spot, it would be nice to see how it works, particularly if it's not David Price. If it's Price, we know what Price can do out of the bullpen. We have no idea what Nathan Eovaldi can do out of the bullpen. We have no idea. We have no idea how he would respond to that sort of situation. And so to throw him into a meaningless game in, you know, mid-September against a bad opponent, I don't know what that is going to prove or what the Red Sox are going to learn from it. I don't. So I just think that Cora somewhere along the line here has to settle on someone and has to pick someone. Here's the other thing. I wonder about Ryan Brazier and whether Cora and Dave Dombrowski are on the same page as to what Brazier can be in that bullpen. So Dombrowski has been talking up Brazier like he's some sort of secret weapon. But last night, in a tie game, in the seventh inning, there were two guys up in the Red Sox bullpen, and neither one of them was Brazier. One was Barnes, one was Thornburg. Now, I want to see these bullpen roles sorted out. I think it's a critical thing for the Red Sox here to do down the stretch, and they don't have a ton of time to do it. So it is something they have to figure out. 617-779-0985. That's where we're going to start. I also want to get to David Price, because I did a little more research on his season to date. That may surprise you. We'll also touch on the channel media and market research survey that they've done with almost 20,000 sports fans in New England, and had some interesting responses on the Red Sox. We'll do that as well. But I'll tell you what, we'll squeeze in a call here right away, and we'll go with, is it Ryden in Wachusett? Jimmy, can we punch him up there? He's on line one. Ryden, you there? Okay, so no riding. Let's
try. He was punched up.
Okay, let's try Jim in a car. Jim, what do you got?
Maz, I'd like your thoughts on, the Sox are doing great, but trust me. But I look at the injuries that they've had this year, the amount of injuries, hamstring problems that they've had. They started off with Pedroia, comes off the DL, 2 minutes later he's back on. I look at Wright, he's off the DL, 2 minutes later he's back on. Sale, he's off the DL, 2 minutes later he's back on. No one ever talks about the medical group or the strength and conditioning people. There's a pattern of this stuff. I mean, you know, from hamstrings, I mean, God, you get that many hamstrings, where's the strength and conditioning people? And who is monitoring? You come off the DL, you get back on the DL. It's happened consistently all year long. and nobody questions the medical group or the strength and conditioning people. So I want your thoughts on that.
Okay, so Jim, look, I'll tell you, when you rattle them off like that, you bring up a good point. This is now three times, I guess. Sale, Pedroia, and who is the other one that he said went right back on the DL after coming off? So it's a legitimate point that three times it feels like the Red Sox have brought someone back too soon and the guy has gone right back on the disabled list. I don't think it's wrong to bring that up. The one thing I would tell you with Pedroia is that the idea that he was going to contribute to the Red Sox this season was a pipe dream from the start. Pipe dream. The Red Sox put way too much on Dustin Pedroia's comeback. And if they, you know, by trying to tell us that he was going to be able to play at the end of May, beginning of June, or whatever it was, I told you last year, once we heard Pedroia was having that microfracture surgery, the chances of him making a contribution were slim. Okay, slim. The Red Sox knew that. They knew that. And they still had to pick up a second baseman at the trade deadline. Okay, so they were not well prepared enough for the injury that Dustin Pedroia suffered and had. And to me, I don't count Pedroia on the list of injuries. Now, that said, the Red Sox this year, let's be honest, they've had some pretty good luck. Sale, for the most part, has stayed healthy. Price, for the most part, has stayed healthy. They lost Eduardo Rodriguez to a sprained ankle, nothing ridiculous. Porcello has stayed on the mound. So their key starters, for the most part, have stayed healthy. And the guys in the lineup, no major injuries. Okay, I don't count Pedroia. They knew that one going in. 617-779-0985. We'll get to the channel media and market research survey next.
Through the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The baseball reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So we typically do this every year on the Felger and Maz show, but there was an interesting element to take out of the channel media and market research survey that they do every August. This took place from August 9th to 20th and was a survey of almost 20,000 sports fans in New England, the majority of which were in Massachusetts, but nonetheless, all of New England. And one of the questions asked was, which team is most likely to win a championship first? Okay, which team is most likely to win the next championship? And the answer, typically, is the Patriots. Typically, the Patriots have been the answer there. This year, the team was the Red Sox. Okay, 51% of the respondents selected the Red Sox as the team that would next win a championship. So before we get back to your calls, and we will, I just want to run some of these things by you because I think they're interesting. For all of the discussion and criticisms we've had of the Red Sox this year, and we've had many, they've had a phenomenal regular season. I mean, they've already won 88 games. Is it 88? Like, honestly, I stopped counting. But think of that. If they went 88 and 74.
Yep, 88 and 38.
Okay, 88 and 74 some years has won them a division. Like, so if you were to go back to 1988 or 1990, one of those years, they won 88 games and won the division. Okay, so just to give you an idea of where they are. It's August 21st. They have 88 wins already. So one of the questions was, what grade would you give the Red Sox for the 2018 season so far? Murray, quick answer?
An A.
Okay. So the 81% of the people polled gave an A+, A or A minus. Okay. So they were 81% were in that area. Astonishingly, 1% gave them a C. 1% gave them a C+.
Well, they talked to Jones.
1% gave them a B-. 6% gave them a B. 10% gave them a B+. So I don't know what those people are thinking. But in any case, in the past year, do you believe the Red Sox are changing for the better, have pretty much stayed the same, or are changing for the worse? 75% say they believe the Red Sox are changing for the better. And again, I think that number is low. That number should be higher. Certainly feels like they're going in the right direction. How would you rate the following moves by the Boston Red Sox? And it was a scale of 1 to 7, and anyone who gave a 6 or a 7 was considered excellent. Okay? the following moves. The signing of J.D. Martinez, 85%. Shouldn't that be higher?
That should be like 100.
I mean, what's the issue with J.D. Martinez?
There isn't one.
Okay,
nailed that.
The decision to select Alex Cora as manager, 83%.
That should be higher.
So even that, like I would say, I agree. I'm with you, Murray. I think that that number should be higher. But at the very least, you can look at that and say, well, they got a lot of talent. J.D. Martinez is a difference maker. Maybe it was about getting rid of Farrell as much as it was adding Cora. But you get the idea.
No, so sneaky racists, maybe.
Just not a lot. Not a lot to complain about there. From the standpoint of player moves and administrative decisions, is a better way to put it. Top five most admired players on the Red Sox, and the way this question is phrased, which player on the Red Sox do you most admire for what they contribute to the team? Okay, for what they contribute to the team. Number one?
Mookie Betts, number one with a bullet.
Number two?
Chris Sale.
J.D. Martinez.
J.D. Martinez.
Sale is third.
Okay.
Jackie Bradley, fourth. We had this discussion briefly earlier in the day. And Mitch Moreland was number five.
That Benintendi doesn't make that top five, or that doesn't beat out Moreland, is mind-blowing to me.
Interesting. Player that did not meet expectations, number one. Did you hear this on the midday show?
That did not meet expectations. Dustin Pedroia?
Dustin Pedroia is fourth. So good guess. He obviously did not get on the field.
David Price?
David Price is fifth.
Okay.
And more on him in a minute.
Tyler Thornburg?
Tyler Thornburg is not on here. Drew Pomeranz is third.
Okay.
Hanley Ramirez is second.
Okay.
Joe Kelly, number one.
Oh. Well, that's smart fan base.
Okay. Joe Kelly, number one. I don't know. So that one to me.
Think of him because I think he's useless.
Well, so do I. Yeah, so. I wouldn't have put him up there. And if I really had to think about it, of guys that failed to meet expectations, Devers would have been on my list.
Oh, right.
I'd have had Devers on there, but obviously Red Sox fans do not. In any case, back to your calls. Mike is in Webster on the Red Sox bullpen. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Tony, you're Mr. Negativity. How do you win 88 games and you don't have a decent bullpen? If I'm not mistaken, they have probably one of the fourth best run averages in the major leagues, if I'm not mistaken.
Mike, I never said they weren't decent.
Oh, well, you were always putting them down. He said, you know, who's Cora going to put in that he can rely upon?
Okay.
I mean, that's a crock of crap, because how do you win that many games and not have a decent bullpen?
Okay, so who's the eighth inning guy?
You know, you got two or three guys that can do it.
Okay,
you
who
know?
Gets it? Who's the guy?
And Cora's trying to figure that out right now. So that's the reason why he's giving these guys different opportunities to see what they can do as they come down to the finish line, Tony.
So you think it's an embarrassment of riches that he has in that bullpen that he can't decide? You think that's the problem?
Well, and plus the fact he's rotating him too, Tony. You know, he's rotating him at the same time, and which he should. He shouldn't have any guy go out there and pitch like two or three nights in a row. So he's rotating him, and at the same time, he's looking to see who's going to be that guy down the home stretch.
So, Mike, all those other years where they had a clear eighth inning guy, when it was, you know, Hideki Okajima in 2007, or when it was Tozawa in 2013, that was a stupid plan to have it identified that clearly?
No, Tony, it was a good plan, but they don't have any clear-cut guy that you know, he knows that he can depend upon right now. I mean,
isn't that what I just said?
No.
Wait a minute, though. You accuse me of... No, hold on. You accuse me of being negative, and then you say he doesn't have a clear-cut guy that he can depend upon right now. Isn't that basically the point? Like, so with all due respect, if you're going to accuse me of being negative, that's fine. I am. But then when I ask you why they're doing it the way you're doing it, and you say, well, they don't have a clear-cut guy. That's the only point. They don't have a clear-cut guy. So how is that a good thing, Mike?
They're not terrible relievers, Tony.
I never said they were terrible relievers.
Well, the negativity that you talk to them about, it sounds like you are negative about them.
Mike, who do you trust in the eighth inning in the playoffs?
You know, Barnes probably is going to be right there.
Probably.
The new guy that they got that they've been, you know, trying out, who's looking very, very good right now, could possibly be that guy.
Brazier?
Exactly.
Does it concern you that he has no postseason experience and, in fact, has very little big league experience?
Well, that's the reason why he's trying him out, Tony, in the seventh and eighth innings right now in key situations.
Okay, so all I'm telling you is that it's August 21st, Mike, and they're still trying people out. They're still trying people out on August 21st. So again, maybe that makes me negative. Maybe I'm just a negative guy.
And the answer to how they've won so many of those games? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that their offense has just been mashing teams to death for most of the season, and they haven't had to rely on that bullpen, the AKA wheel of gutless bums in that seventh and eighth inning.
I just, to me, last night, part of the reason Cora stuck with Porcello is because he didn't have a clear choice.
There's no bigger proof than that he doesn't know what to do in that situation and leaving Rick Porcello in at that point of the game. The guy took a line drive to the gut where he could have been injured. He didn't know. He left him in the game, and the guy ends up serving up a two-run bomb to the number nine hitter in the game who had one home run at that point in the whole season.
So, look, but I understand. I'm a negative guy. I am. I'm a negative guy. I tend to sort of focus on the areas that need to be talked about, and that's one of them. Murray's Get Your Headlines here. When we come back, since I'm so negative, I'm going to ask this question. Are we being too hard on David Price? I'll explain when we come back.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Let's start with the Patriots, eh? Their rookie running back, Sonny Michel, remaining absent from practice today as the first-round pick has now missed the last 11 sessions of practice with that reported knee injury that he suffered during the first week of training camp. Michel hasn't been spotted at practice since August 1st. Patriots take on the Carolina Panthers this Friday night in their third of four preseason games. Here's safety Daron Harmon on the importance of this upcoming game. The dress rehearsal, if you will.
You got to use these games truly as a time to get prepared, to familiarize yourself with what you're going to do in the season. I mean, you don't want your first week of preparation and studying film to be the first week. You want to be able to do it now. You want to take your preparation for the entire week and start doing it now so that when you get in the flow of the things for game one of the regular season, you'll have a good routine. You'll have something that you can follow and work with.
More news throughout the NFL. Steelers wide receiver Eli Rogers has been suspended for the first game of the season for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. No word on the nature of the violation. Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith suspended for the first four regular season games for violating the personal conduct policy. A portion of the Ravens statement on Smith reads as follows. The NFL found evidence of threatening and emotionally abusive behaviors by Jimmy towards his former girlfriend. That showed a pattern of improper conduct. Our player's behavior was inappropriate and wrong. The Celtics today signed guard P.J. Dozier to a two-way contract that didn't disclose the terms of the deal. He last played with the Oklahoma City Blue of the G League, and it's the Red Sox and Indians. Game two of this four-game series tonight. Nathan Eovaldi on the mound for the Red Sox. Cleveland counters with righty Shane Bieber. First pitch, 7:10. Headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. They have nine rail-size entrees for just $9.99, like their hand-breaded crispy fish tacos. The 99, always the real deal. I'm Jim Murray from Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 for Sports Hub. Next update at 7.
We have the Sox coming. The Sox coming. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just a reminder, Trivia Tuesday coming up here in just a bit. We'll get to that momentarily. I know this is very out of character for me, but I'm going to give you a positive stat here. Given how the last segment ended. I told you this last night. David Price early in the year. You remember when he went into New York and he couldn't pitch because of the whole Fortnite fiasco? Of course you remember. We all remember. That Fortnite nonsense?
Maybe the funniest moment of the season.
Okay, so there was some question at the time as to how severe the carpal tunnel was, like ultimately how it would be resolved. There was even, like, a passing mention of surgery. Price was asked about all of this. And I want you to pay particular attention to what he says at the end of the comment, okay? But here is the essence of the conversation.
You know, Ronick, he had the same thing. You know, he got, I think he said his left wrist. You know, he had that cut out in his wrist, and he said he didn't want to do his right, and he's been sleeping with his brace, and it makes him feel a lot better. So that is the last step. I think it's just a 2-month recovery. But you know, there are steps before that that we would take before that. I'm pitching the rest of the year.
Okay, so that line at the end, I'm pitching the rest of the year. Okay, I'm pitching the rest of the year. And there was a similar comment that Price made somewhere along the line about, I'm not going to miss any more starts. I'm not coming off the mound. I'm not going to miss any games. Okay, there was that kind of comment. So that was in May. You know how many starts he's missed since that time, Murray?
None.
Zero. Zip. David Price has made every turn since that time. 17 starts. Okay? And in that period of time, which basically begins on May 12th to now, where do you think Price ranks among major league leaders in wins?
Top five.
Tied for first. The major league leaders in wins since May 12th. Corey Kluber, Luis Severino, John Lester, and David Price. 11 wins. 11.
And Severino's mostly been garbage for like 6 or 7 starts now.
Price is number one in baseball in winning percentage since May 12th.
Number one with a bullet.
Since he missed that start with the Yankees, he's number one in wins, number one in winning percentage. Rick Porcello is 10-6 with a 4.79 ERA. Price is 11-2, 3.19. And Price has taken way more grief than Porcello has. And this is proof that it has nothing to do with his pitching. Right? This is, if you're David Price, this is where you pull him aside if you're the Red Sox and say, stop talking.
Right, yeah. You don't even have to be likable or relatable or anything like that. Just shut up.
Stop talking. Let your pitching talk for you. In 17 starts during that time, the team has gone 15-2 when Price has pitched. One of those losses was the game where he got his face kicked in New York. It was a big spot and a bad loss. But he's otherwise been good for a half a year now, for a half a season. If he just shut his mouth, we wouldn't be dumping on him all the time.
He can't help himself. So is this a message to, I guess, haters like me and others out there that just don't like much about David Price to step off, Maz? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm not telling you to step off at all. I'm just telling you that he's actually lived up to his word here over the last half season.
Yeah.
He said he was going to pitch and make every start, and he has. And he's overall, he's pitched well. Yeah, I'm not saying Cy Young, but he's pitched well. Go ahead, Murray.
Say my name.
Jesse's in Easton. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, Maz, how's it going? So,
good.
I was originally going to call about something else. I'm going to switch it up just a second because you guys have talked a lot about, obviously, a potential series with Cleveland, New York.
You got to be fast, Jesse. Go ahead.
But Oakland, I don't really know a ton about them other than that they no hitters this season, but they've kind of crept up on everybody. And I was wondering what you guys think about a potential series with Oakland.
Okay, so, I'm sorry, Jesse. I didn't mean to drop you so fast. The A's scare me a little bit. Murray?
Yeah, same thing. Good bullpen. Win a lot of games late. I think Jimmy sent me the stat over the weekend, too, after their series with Houston. They've won the most one-run games. They have a ridiculous win-loss record with one-run games this year. Chris Davis has been ridiculous since the All-Star break.
Oakland is 26-10 in one-run games.
Yeah, they're hot, too.
Astros are 16-22.
Okay, they're hot. And again, if they win the
Oakland has also beaten you 4 out of 6 games this year.
That's correct. They're 4-2 against the Red Sox. And if the A's win the West, Houston and New York would likely meet in that play-in game. Boy, what a gift that would be for the Red Sox.
Yeah, I just mentioned Davis. He's MLB high, 16 home runs and 35 RBI since the All-Star break.
Chris Davis, who hit the home run off of Price to win the game out there earlier in the year. Jim's in Newburyport. Jim, you got to go fast.
Yeah, hey, Tony. Everybody likes Alex Cora. We've seen Joe Kelly and JBJ go off in September. He's going to go with a hot hand. We don't know who it is. They've got a lot of options. You might add Stephen Wright, E-Rod to those options. And then finally, you're worried about MLB experience. There was a guy named Malcolm Butler, undrafted free agent.
Jim, Jim, listen, I hear you. It's a completely different scenario. Okay, completely different. If you want to throw Francisco Rodriguez at me, fine. He came up from A-ball and was dominant for the Angels in 2002. Fine, with no big league experience. Dominant. Ryan Brazier's 30. Frankie at the time was 20, I think, and his stuff was better. His stuff was filthy good. It's that time of the week. First 5 callers to the Pride Motor Group contest line, and that is 617-931-0985. You will have the chance to participate in Trivia Tuesday. If you can answer 3 baseball questions correctly, you will get a $100 gift card for Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill. and you'll be automatically entered for an overnight trip to see Boston play in New York in September. We don't have many more chances for these drawings. In fact, we're going to pick the winner on September 5th, so that's coming fast. We'll do Trivia Tuesday next.